When I saw this topic appear in a PR notice, I thought, Darnell, that is exactly where a lot of our audience is. Stop for just a moment for those of you who are baby boomers like me. I was born in 1946, and if you were born around that time after close to the end of World War II, technology is something that we've had to kind of back into or stumble into, if you will, in some ways.
Adopt.
There we go. Adopt. And you know, we kind of sit on the sidelines sometimes, you know, longingly looking at our children, perhaps, or more likely our grandchildren, and the ease with which they move around in this new world. The topic is one that I thought would be great to talk about on our show for the sake of the other baby boomers out there, and that is how not to get left behind in this new age of technology in the 21st century. And somebody who's here to help us get a kind of a handle on that is Nancy Schenker. She is a marketing innovator, a brand builder, a writer, speaker, and a self-proclaimed rule breaker. She's also the founder of The OnSwitch Marketing, and she has some wonderful insights, which, by the way, if you go to internetadvisor.net, you'll see the chart that we have there that she provided for us. Nancy, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
I'm delighted to have you here. Pardon the rambling open to this thing, but boy, you just hit the nail on the head with the different kind of categories that you put boomers into and their attitude toward technology. Why is it that they find it, in many cases, so frightening that they're even just kind of hiding from it?
Well, you know, it's a language that we didn't grow up with. I am not that far behind you. I was born in 1956.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I grew up using a rotary dial phone and a manual typewriter. So when computers were first introduced, they were foreign objects to us. And I think very often boomers are very self-effacing because most of us at this point have figured out how to use a smartphone and a laptop and a desktop. So we often sell ourselves short in our ability to learn these new skills. I think the speed with which things are being introduced and the lexicon around them sometimes makes us feel like we're being left in the dust. And because there are, you know, as many millennials and Gen Zers, actually more millennials and Gen Zers than there are boomers, we often feel like we're in the minority. But I always say it is really never too late to catch up. The worst thing you can do is shut down and say either it's too late or this is not relevant to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need
that. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Gary.
Isn't that what we do sometimes? You know, I kind of think of us watching the youngsters, and they just dive in. They're used to being confused, but they figure it out, right?
Right, and we just need to remind ourselves of all the things that we didn't know how to do at one point in our lives. You know, before I had kids, I didn't know how to change a diaper. I didn't know how to check the oil in my car. So, you know, there are lots of things that we boomers have to figure out just by trial and error. So I think we are as capable as the next generation of learning the new things.
Mm-hmm.
We just sometimes are our own worst enemies. We either say, I can't, or I won't, or I don't understand why this is relevant to me. And so it really starts with that commitment. So, you know, the four groups, you have the rebooter, who is someone who just makes the decision to stay relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And say, I am going to teach myself this new skill. And it may take a little longer than it would take if I were 22 as opposed to 62, but don't give up. Hang in. You can't really break this stuff, so just keep trying until you master it. And find people who have the patience. I think that you know, my own daughters are fluent in Spanish, and they both have done tutoring. And sometimes when they're showing me how to do something on my laptop, they'll roll their eyes or they'll speak louder as if I'm deaf. And I say to them, you wouldn't do this if you were tutoring somebody in Spanish. Why are you doing this to me? So I sometimes feel like boomers do make the best educators of other boomers, when it comes to technology, which is part of what I do in my own business and my life, is work with other boomers, helping them figure out what technologies mm-hmm. are best for their businesses, because you don't need all of it.
Right.
And you don't have to feel compelled to learn all of it. You have to use those things that are either going to make your business or your life better.
Nancy, we're going to take a quick break right now, but when we come back, I want to talk more about this wonderful chart that you set up of talking about my generation. Again, folks, if you go to internetadvisor.net, you'll see this chart we're talking about. You mentioned the rebooter, and you've actually tied this in to some actual people and their habits, and we'll talk about that when we return with Nancy Schenker in a moment. Welcome back once again to the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and Kasten Thomas, now part of our team here as we are looking at getting the boomers going again. And with no excuses, folks. And I think that is part of what our guest, Nancy Schenker, is all about. A member of that boomer generation, who is actually her company, which is a marketing firm, is built around that principle, Nancy, of helping the on-switch marketing company is helping people who are boomers, perhaps, to get with the program.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I talk about the three S's, that if technology isn't making you smarter, if it's not saving you time and money, or if it's not socializing you and your company, not connecting you to new prospects and new opportunities, then it's really not useful technology. Mm. So as you're evaluating an app or a system, you have to look at it with that perspective and say, if it's not benefiting your business or your life in some way, mm-hmm. then it's just a gadget.
Yep. Yep. And, there are a lot of them out there, aren't there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, what I try to do in my own business and personal life is I will experiment with new apps. And if they're not proving useful, then I just delete them and
yep.
don't go there again. And I don't feel compelled to use something just because it's hot and trendy. And
yeah.
I look at some of the apps and the marketing tools that were at one point rumored to be the holy grail.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of them don't even exist anymore.
Right,
so
exactly.
You have to just pick those things that that serve your current objective.
Yep.
It all really starts with, what do I need to either grow my business or streamline my business or make my life better or expand my circle? And then what are the technologies that can help me to do that?
We had a wonderful testimonial on the it just happened near the end of our 20th anniversary. Remember that, Kasten?
That was wonderful.
Yeah, a gentleman named Duvalier, who was visiting his mother here in Detroit, just came on and talked about, in just incredible glowing terms, you know, it was almost as if we paid him, but he was saying, your program has helped my mother so much because she was a nurse. And she was, a boomer. She was aging out of her position. There was technology coming in, and she just didn't understand the technology. But he said, you guys helped her to get over that barrier of fear, to get involved in it. And it actually, he said, really saved her in so many ways. Her Social Security was increased because she was able to work longer. And it had so many benefits. Not to just kind of curl up in a ball and say, I'm just not going to deal with this. And she learned to have fun with it. And you know, that socializing aspect of it was interesting. He said that she had got together with a bunch of her friends.
Yeah, from technophobe to techno-fanatic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that was around a, what was it? They were all knitting together and they would talk technology,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. They found a way of getting together. These were older women, and they just found a way of rebooting, and that is the first category you have. What I love about, by the way, if you go to internetadvisor.net, you'll see Nancy's outline she has here talking about my generation, four types of technology adapters, and or not. And the first one was called the rebooter, and you describe that, Nancy, as somebody who is always reinventing. They're ready for something that's new coming around the corner and staying on the cutting edge. The person you identified that with was Steve Tyler, who I think some of us here will remember that music.
Oh, well, I love that music.
Yeah, and it's not only his music he's now known for, but he was also a judge on American Idol.
There you go.
Just recently did a commercial for Kia as part of the Super Bowl. So he is clearly somebody who is aging very, very gracefully and profitably because he has taken a look at where the world is heading.
Yeah.
And he's also a collaborator in addition to being a rebooter. When he recorded Walk This Way and was, you know, and paired himself with another style of music that at the time was very popular.
Mm-hmm.
So has always managed to remain relevant and popular and known for many, many decades just by changing it up and seeing where the world is heading.
Now, not everybody is that adventurous. And the next category you have is the out-of-range cowboy. And Christopher Walken, with that deadpan stare he has, is the icon for that.
Yeah, and the out-of-range cowboy, I mean, I still think that population, they understand technology. And people are not one or the other. There are times when, as connected and as rebooty as I am, I'll say, you know what, today I just really want to hang out with my grandkids or mm-hmm. lie in the sun or relax or exercise, and I'll deliberately leave my devices at home.
Yep.
Bill Murray and Christopher Walken are extreme cases of that, and they can be because they are obviously wildly successful and commercial hits, and they could say, you know what, I don't want to have a cell phone unless I absolutely have to have it. So you have to reach a certain point in your life and your business where you make that choice and say, you know what, if my boss can't reach me for an hour or my staff can't reach me for an hour, I'll still survive. I'm going to unplug.
Mm-hmm.
And that ends up alleviating the anxiety because once you give your permission to go out of range, it alleviates the stress of having to always be connected.
I'm curious now. Matter of fact, Ed is about to take off on a journey. You're going to have a cell phone with you, right? As you travel.
I couldn't imagine. Well, I'm not bringing a laptop with me this time, so I need to have something to be connected.
But you're happy with being out of touch on that, right?
With my cell phone?
Well,
no.
At some point when you're on vacation.
No.
No. Okay.
No.
All right.
I cannot be out of touch with my cell phone.
All right.
Well, let me scold you because. Back in October, my wife and I went to Florida, and we put our phones away for 3 days, and we rediscovered each other.
Oh, wow.
It was transformative. It was. We found the old flame, and it's still there.
Wow.
That's great. And there actually is a summer camp now for adults. I don't know. They may have programming during the year as well, where electronic devices are not allowed, much the way they aren't allowed in kids' summer camps. So we have become so dependent on our devices that it really is very healthy to unplug from time to time.
Well, Gary, I imagine on your boat shared adventure that is pretty much the way you travel. People have to unplug when they're out of touch on the open water there.
No, not at all. Why would they have to do that? Maybe they should. But no, I mean, you know, unless you go way offshore, you've got cell phone coverage and therefore data coverage.
Oh, okay.
That signal just bounces right across the water.
So
absolutely.
Do you find people just kind of leaving it behind though, or not?
No, because they want to take photos, they want to upload them to Instagram,
I got you.
They want to tell people where they are, what they're doing.
Right.
They every once in a while they couldn't leave sometimes if they couldn't stay in touch. Now, some of the kids, sometimes parents have had to say, put it away.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But even then they say, can I post this photo? Yep, go ahead, post that, then put it away.
Gotcha. Right? Gotcha.
Yeah.
Now, one of the other, there's two other types there that you have, Nancy, in your chart. The collaborator is another one, and Tony Bennett is part of that. He knows that two heads are better than one and isn't afraid to make multi-generational partnerships. That's kind of interesting, yeah.
Absolutely, and it applies to the business world as well. I have some 20-something interns working with me, and if I have a question about technology or how to target their generation, It's really helpful to have that cross-generational perspective. Mm-hmm. As I said earlier, you really do have to find the right kind of partner, yeah. Somebody who's not going to roll his or her eyes and look at you like you're a fossil, but realizes that you both have knowledge and insights and skills to teach each other.
Yeah. The last one you had there is somebody who missed the memo. I think that there's a fair number of people who listen to this show who feel this way. You're a bit lost in the digital world and feel like you just can't keep up. And
and there it's really just a matter of committing to do it. It's like saying I'm going to lose 30 pounds or I'm going to stop eating potato chips or I'm going to teach myself any other new skill. You were talking about knitting before. But when we look at our generation, there are so many things that we have learned how to do over the years.
Yeah.
And part of it is just getting out of our own way and saying technology is not something that is just for the young. Success is not something that's just for the young. If you look at the statistics, many of these successful new businesses were founded by people well over 45. Now, there are lots and lots of examples. Grandma Moses, obviously, being
yeah,
the most
right.
memorable, of people who didn't start learning a skill until they were up in their 50s, 60s,
you know, Nancy,
70s, 80s.
We got to take a quick break. Let's talk a little bit more about people who have bloomed in their final quarter. Nancy Schenker is our guest. Hello, Foster Brown, along with Jerry Baker, Ed Rudella, and Kasten Thomas is with us, and we have a very special guest online with us. Been a delight talking with her. Nancy Schenker is the founder of the OnSwitch Marketing. She's done some interesting things with for boomers, which is a lot of us, who came to be shortly after World War II, and as a result are in some ways catching up with technology. Nancy, I have to tell you, my father, who died at 82 around in 2000, Dad had worked with the Army and Tank Command, and that started in the late 80s, and he had gotten into some of the first computers there, and my old man was just going nuts with it. He loved it, and he said to me at one point, and this is somewhere in the mid-90s, he said, Foss, I really envy you and your being around for this time of development of computers. I wish I'd be there for the adventure that's coming up. That was the kind of attitude that he had. And I think that's the kind of winning attitude that people can have, if you will, in the autumn of their lives. And some people have accomplished some really incredible things in those latter years.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the definition of latter years is also changing because with modern medicine, the age expectancy keeps going up, and, you know, my target number is 122. So I'm looking at myself as only being at the halfway mark. And whenever I'm, you know, having a day when I'm feeling especially, you know, old and crotchety, I look at, you know, some of the amazing people who accomplished great things in the second half of their lives. You know, Tolkien published The Lord of the Rings when he was 62.
Wow.
And Noah Webster completed the dictionary at 66. Vanderbilt didn't even start buying railroads until he was 70.
No kidding. I had no idea.
Colonel Sanders opened his first restaurant at the age of 62.
Yep, and Mary Baker Eddy founded Christian Science Monitor at 87. So, as I said, I look at 62 as just a number, and it's really the attitude behind the number. I just picked up and relocated from New York to Scottsdale, Arizona, and I have friends who say, oh, I wish I could do that. And I always say to them, what is holding you back? And nine times out of ten, it's fear or habit rather than any real financial or tangible obligation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was it Einstein as well and Edison? Wasn't it Edison as well? Was quite old when he did some of his inventing. Just didn't stop. Nothing could stop him. And I think it's that curiosity, the drive. Gary What do you think it is? Our guys, just generally jump in on this. What is that one element that seems to be necessary for us to keep on pushing and not get left on the sidelines?
Viagra. And that's not from personal experience.
No.
Well, I do think that brain chemistry does play a huge role in the aging process. And yeah. I recently started eating clean and exercising more and lifting weights and really doing whatever I can do to stay active and stay vibrant and stay connected and hanging around with people who are half my age or a third my age. And as long as you don't act like a, you know, ancient old grandma or grandpa, I do think that young people, the right young people, are really interested in the stories that we have to tell and the advice that we have to give, as long as we're not preachy about it.
Gary, remember that we did a program way back when that linked teenagers with older folks, like in living in senior buildings, and the kids would teach them, the older folks, the technology, and then the coin of exchange, if you will, from the older folks was their stories. Remember that?
Well, and common sense, because a lot of times might have the technical know-how, but they don't understand how to tell if something's true or not online, and what to do about it, and what not, and why you shouldn't believe everything you read on the internet, right?
Yep.
And I think that was a great exchange. There were a couple times we did that. Most recently, there was a company, what was it called, Tech Seniors, I believe, out in Arizona.
Yes, New Mexico, young lady from
New Mexico, that's right.
Yep.
But we, and I found them at Collision Conference down
that's
in New Orleans.
Right.
Love that conference. That is a great place to go if you feel like you missed the memo. But it really is the Disney of tech, and it's not a super young conference. I would say that you have people there from their 20s up to their 70s, and all they have in common is innovation.
Yeah, absolutely. It's wonderful. 20,000 people, and everybody has a story.
And that was Collision?
They're wonderfully interesting stories.
Gary, where did that take place? It was called Collision, but where was that?
In New Orleans, and it's coming up again in May.
Oh,
yep, I will be there.
I keep getting invites, and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make it this year because I've got a couple other things that are kind of overlapped. So it's unfortunate. I would love to go.
That is really neat. It sounds. I just sounds fantastic. I wish I was closer. I'd love to go. And Kasten, you're from that area, aren't you? Not too far from there.
Louisiana and Texas. Yep.
Yeah.
I hail from there.
Mm-hmm. Nancy, I know. By the way, Nancy Schenker is our guest, and she is the founder of The On Switch, which is a marketing agency. You've got something special on your homepage that talks about some of the basic tools, if you will, that we need to be there in this tech age and to get ahead. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'm going to be offering everybody my 7 favorites, sort of the basics, the same way you have the food groups that, you should eat every day. I'm going to have my 7 picks for the technologies that you should have in your life. And I'm not necessarily going to recommend specific apps because I do think it's a very personal decision based on what kind of device you have and what you're comfortable using. But I would break it into the different categories of apps and gadgets that everybody at this point in time should have in their lives.
Can you give us a couple of examples of that? And obviously people need to go to the website. And when you get to the On Switch, you can look for the 7, it's called 7, oh, pardon me.
Well, theonswitch.com, right?
Yes. And
it's basically 7 technologies
there you go.
You can't live without. And actually, this is sort of humorous. When I was growing up, I would ask my mother for something. I would say, we were running out of tuna fish, for example. And she would say, write it down. If it's not written down, I'm never going to remember it.
Oh, yes.
So one of my favorite apps is something called Listmaster, which is basically the replacement for the paper and pencil list. It lives on my phone. It also integrates with my computer. And, you know, there are lots and lots of other variations on list-making apps, but it's just a great way, especially as we get older, to never forget anything.
I love it. I love it. We've got that on our refrigerator. We have a magnet that is there, and, you know, if it's not written down there, we're not going to be buying it when we go to the grocery store, but an excellent example. Nancy, I want to thank you so much for being with us and for providing these insights. Again, folks, if you go to internetadvisors.net, you'll see the list. It's called Talking About My Generation, and we have that whole graphic there, and you can see those different types, see where you fit into that. All sorts of interesting things we've been talking about in the program today. But again, those seven basic technologies that everybody needs, you get a link to that. And again, that's at theonswitch.com. And you'll find a link to that on our homepage at internetadvisor.net.
And it's a must-see website. It's a beautifully designed website.
Thank you so much.
My hat's
off. That.
You got to go just see it.
All right. That's cool. Very good. Thank you very much. All right, Nancy, again, thank you. It's been a delight talking with you.
Thank you for having me as a guest.
You're very welcome. That's Nancy Schenker, and thank you for being with us.